we extend to you a warm welcome to our radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are the promises of God sure? Is that your experience? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. My theme is, God says, I promise you. It is based on the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with the 29th verse. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we so often grope for the truth. It seems at times as though we are betrayed by the promises of humans. And so sometimes we may even ask the question, are the promises of God true? Speak to us this day in your holy word. Grant, Holy Spirit, that you might be our teacher, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses is speaking to his people. He tells them that if they go astray, God will still welcome them home. Listen to these words from verse 29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and will obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefather, which he confirmed to them by oath. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee
my gracious.
friends in Christ. How good is a promise? Well, somebody may say, not as good as it used to be. That perhaps is negative thinking to some extent. On the other hand, there are those times when we do get burned. Somebody promises us something and then it is not delivered, and we become very, very skeptical and we wonder if we can trust anyone. Well, I don't know if human nature changes that much, and I think probably a promise is as good as a promise was years ago. The only thing is that we live in a big world and we deal with a lot of strangers, whereas once we were dealing primarily with just close friends, and they kept their promises. We could debate this for a long time. How good is a promise? You know, I used to, however, suggest to people who were entering into second marriages that they should have a prenuptial agreement. And when I mentioned this, they would sometimes look at me and stare and say, "That's an awful thing to say. If we really trust one another, we don't need any legal document." And then I always had a little suggestion to them based on many, many experiences that I had had when I said, "You have to realize that human nature, being what it is, and emotions sometimes get out of control in marriage relationships. And it's just good common sense to have a legal document to guarantee the verbal promise. It'll not only make you feel better, it perhaps will make both of your families feel better and save squabbles and maybe even court cases in the future. Not a very good thing to say at the beginning of a marriage, I realize, but something that I have found to be quite worthwhile. Some followed the advice, others of them said, how utterly ridiculous, and you may say that too. But what I'd like to talk to you about today are not the promises of humans, but rather the promises about God Almighty, the promises that come from His Word and that have flowed from His lips. I'd like to take two promises today. The one that deals with the backsliders, the second one that deals with those who are suffering affliction. In the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 29, Moses is having a heart-to-heart talk with his people. And he is saying to them, you know, God will bless you and be with you as long as you are true to Him. But if you are not true to Him, He is then going to really punish you. However, Moses says, I want to give you a word that you should pass on to other generations. Right now, you may be all right, Moses could have said, but in the days ahead and future generations, things could be different. If then you become corrupt and make any kind of idol, or you do something that is evil in the eyes of the Lord your God, provoking Him to anger, you will quickly perish. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship other gods. But then Moses goes on to say, look, this doesn't mean that I'm done with you. For I have made a promise, I have a covenant with your forefathers, and that covenant I will keep. So he continues on, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and all your soul, nothing superficial. But if you're really earnest and trying to find out where this God is and what your relationship can be with Him, you will surely find Him. When you are in distress and all these things happen to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon nor destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which He confirmed to them by oath. In other words, he is saying, as Mendelssohn put it so well in his great work, Elijah, if with all your heart you truly seek him, you will ever surely find him. Thus saith your God. Now we know on the basis of the New Testament as well, that before we ever begin to seek God, God is seeking us. That's what he's doing today in his word as it's preached around the world. The initiative always is with God. But Moses put it this way, realizing that God was doing the seeking. Now if you turn around and with all your heart, you truly seek him, you are surely going to find him. That's evangelism in the Old Testament. Reaching out to people who are not in a right relationship with God and pleading and begging them to come home, for God wants them. This is the promise of God. My neighbor may sometimes come up short in fulfilling his promises to me, but my God does not do that, friend. That's one thing that's important, what is found in his word. That word is sound, and it is something upon which you and I can build our life both for now and for all eternity. 2,000 years after Moses uttered those words, our Lord Jesus Christ said this, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will in no wise cast out." That's a promise that has come to us from our Heavenly Father. It's an appeal, isn't it? Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is Jesus who is saying, come, come to me today, and I will forgive you your sins, and I will restore you into fellowship with God, and your life will take on new meaning. That's evangelism. That's the appeal. That's the reaching out. That's the promise. And that promise is sure, my friend. It will not be taken away from us, for our Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to us. So perhaps I talked to some of you today who really never have had a living relationship with Jesus. You've heard about him. You perhaps have heard the neighbors talk about him. You see them go to church, but you don't go to church. You're riding down the highway today in your car, and this radio program happens to be on. Or you're at home, and somehow or other you just crossed the dial, and you're listening. Would you listen for just a little bit more? Jesus Christ has promises for you, and your life cannot really be rich unless it is built on these promises. The promise that I want you. The promise that I have suffered and I have died on a cross for you. That's for you. Or maybe you're a person who said, well, when I was a lad, my father and my mother certainly took me to Sunday school and to church, and I really know intellectually the basic truths of God's holy word. But I don't really know him. And so as the years have gone by, I have drifted farther and farther away from him. Isn't that what Moses is describing in the text that is ours today? If in future generations your people walk away, Moses said to the Israelites, then remember this. I am more than anxious to receive them back again. And if they will come with all their heart and soul, you can be sure that they will find a Savior who loves them and one who wants to walk with them on this earth and be with them forever in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you have backslidden, if once you were a part of his kingdom and now you have drifted away, he is saying to you this morning through the preached word of God, come home, come home. I want you. Let's go to another subject where his promises are so sure. You and I know, friend, that we cannot walk through life without suffering some kind of afflictions. It is just a part of living in a fallen old world. Well, that is exactly what had happened in the case of Israel. They had turned away from God, and as a result of that, they were carried into captivity by the Babylonians. It was during that time that they suffered a great deal, and they began to wonder, where is this God? Well, they were not willing to admit that they had turned their back on him, but God pursues it, and he gives them a promise. And this is what he says in the 41st chapter of the prophet Isaiah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, when everything is going badly around them, God is saying to the prophet Isaiah, look, your strength is in God. It isn't in yourself. But I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to walk with you. And one day, you will be set free from this captivity. That's what the Lord was saying through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel. Now, friend, it is very interesting to notice that our Lord Jesus also dealt with people who were suffering affliction. During the days that he was here, many hundreds of years after Isaiah had written, and what he is saying to us 2,000 years after he uttered these words for the first time. Listen, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are of much more value than the sparrow. Let me tell you, in the middle of the summer, a friend of my wife and mine came and gave us a beautiful new bird feeder. We had an old one in the yard, but I hadn't been very faithful in keeping it filled with grain, and there were not too many birds around, and he thought this would be a delightful thing for us to have. He not only gave us a beautiful bird feeder, but he also said, I'm going to keep it filled with grain. And he has certainly kept his promise. So in the morning, as we're eating breakfast, we look out on our patio, and right beyond the patio is this bird feeder, and here are these little birds. Most of them are sparrows, just an ordinary brown, gray sparrow. Not particularly pretty, kind of fun to watch them hop around, but once in a while, I will hear my wife say, or I will say to her, look, come to the window, see that bird, and there is a beautiful blue jay or a red cardinal. Oh my, they really get our attention. They are something special. And then when the whole family of sparrows and bluebirds and cardinals and the rest are there enjoying the grain, here comes one of these great big black vultures. I said to my neighbor one day, what do I do to get rid of those black birds? And he looked and he said, you know, God made those too. And I guess that's right. But for some reason or other, they're not quite as important in my eyes as those beautiful, beautiful bluebirds and cardinals, even the sparrow. Now notice what Jesus says. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Obviously, they must have been a bigger bird too. And evidently, they could be eaten. But he takes the most common bird, sparrows that are sold, two for a penny. And what does he say? Not one of them will fall to the ground, but what your heavenly Father knows it. And then he comes up with that great punchline. You are of more value than many sparrows. That's a picture of life. God is with us. He's not just with the important. He's not just with rulers and leaders and rich and highly educated. He's with ordinary people like you and me. And nothing happens, nothing can afflict us, but what he knows about it. And so, like Moses, Jesus goes on to say, "Come, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll comfort you." Maybe there's someone today who really is afflicted and they're listening to this program. Maybe during the course of this past week, you might have had some shocking news that really has made life tough for you. Maybe you buried a loved one. Maybe there's been something in your business that went bad. The afflictions. Where do I go? How do I get any help in a day like this? And our Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am with you. I will not leave you. You come to me, and I'll give you not only forgiveness, but I'll give you strength." That is a promise from Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting? He put his promise on paper. And that paper has found its way into our Bibles. And those Bibles, I pray, are in our home. And if you'll open them, you can begin to live with promises that are always sure, my friend. They will never fail us, for they are the promises that have come from none other than Almighty God himself. Yes, it is true that sometimes we wonder about the promises of the humans, but never can we worry about the promises of God. Certainly, he has provided well for us. He will deliver his children what he has promised to them. It is a part of his faithfulness. Amen.
And I know he was.
Father, we thank you for the security that we can have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can live with some of the dishonesty within our society and a part of our culture when we know that we have a faith to which we can turn that is true, honest, and where the promises are fulfilled. May that bring peace to the souls of those this day whose lives are upset for one reason or another. Give them, O God, that peace which passes all understanding, and grant that your church may faithfully, with all of the power that it has within its being, minister to this world with the promises of God. Hear this prayer we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit organization that operates from the financial support of those who have been helped and those who want to join with us in reaching others. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gym Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.